All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. Beautiful daf out of us today. Today's daf is Yud Dalid. We are picking up on your Gimel Amud Beis 13b, and we are picking up at the Tanu Rabbanan. Beautiful sugya. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. We'll have the Shabbos, so just remember again the context, which, or the subject we're talking about over here, is Shtuye Yayin. So we already began to speak about yesterday. A Kohen, of course, is not permitted to enter into the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avoda while under the influence. We saw Machlokes as to what exactly under the influence means. What kind of wine, not really how much wine, not already. We saw it's at least the Revius. What about Sharmi de Mashkin? What about other intoxicating beverages? So we saw all of that yesterday. Now, Rabbi said we're going to expand this discussion here beyond Avoda as well. So Tan Rabbanon, Ula Havdil bin HaKodesh u'bin HaChol. So the Pasuk says, right after the Torah hands down the prohibition of Yayin v'shechar al teisht, ata uvanecha v'itach, bevoachem el ola moir velo samusu. So after the Torah gives us the prohibition of shtuye Yayin, vis-a-vis the Kohanim, the Torah then goes on to say, ulahavdil bin hakodesh bin achol, bin atami bin atar, ulahoros es b'nei Yisrael kolachukim asher dibra Hashem aleihem biyad Moshe. So the Gemara understands this to mean that this is expanding the list of prohibited activities which Kohanim and others are not permitted to do while under the influence. So Tan Rabbanan, Ula Havdu Ben HaKodesh Ben HaChol, Elu Damin Erchin Charamin VeHekdeshos. So what's the Havdu Ben HaKodesh Ben HaChol teaches me, Damin means monetary valuations, Erchin means Erech vows, Charamin are Cherem vows, and ektechos. But say ektechos presumably refers to someone who wants to redeem something from the Beis HaMikdash. The common denominator amongst all of these things is, these are valuations. Right? These are things in which a Beis Din has to get together and value, right, appraise the item. So the Gemara is saying over here, that's what? That once you drank wine, you are not permitted to engage in the process of valuations. What's the concern? The concern is that your judgment is impaired. Next, ubein atame ubein atahar. What does it mean between atame and atahar? Elu tmei sataras. Both say this refers to the halachos of tumantara. Can't paskin on tumantara once you drank. Ulahoros zuhora. So we'll say can't paskin halacha. Can't paskin halacha once you drank. Next, eskalachukim. What does it mean, all the chukim? Elu midrashos. I will say this refers to the study or to the teaching of medrash. Now, the medrash that they're referring to over here, of course, is medrash halacha. One can't do that. Next, asher dibra Hashem, zu halacha. This is the first halacha. Biyad Moshe, ze talmud. Biyad Moshe means you can't teach Gemara either while under the influence. Yocho av ha-mishnah. So you might have thought again that halacha la-maisa, this applies to Mishnah as well, that you can't teach Mishnah. Talmud lomar u-lahoros. Therefore the pasuk says lahoros. So we'll say lahoros teaches me what? That it's only matters which are associated with psak. Mishnah is not associated with psak. Right? People don't learn Mishnah. So people don't learn halacha from Mishnah. And therefore again, halacha la-maisa, there's no problem with teaching it while under the influence. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda Omer, Yocho Af Talmud. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says, you might have thought that you can't teach Gemara after you drank wine. Talmud Lomar Ulahoros. Therefore, the Pasuk says Lahoros. We'll say Lahoros teaches me that it is only things which have Psak Halacha in it. Obviously, Gemara doesn't have, or at least explicit Psak Halacha in it. Neima, to which the Gemara says, Kiman Azlaha Desanya. But say whose opinion is reflected in the following brisa? Yotza sheretz tame utzvardei atar shestuye yain morin bahen. So to which the shestuye yain morin bahen horas. Well, listen to this. Excluded from this list are halachas like that a sheretz is tame, that a tzvardei is tar, that even someone who drank wine is permitted to teach these subjects. So what this seems to be saying over here is as follows: that something that is a straightforward halacha, that doesn't have hora, that doesn't really have what's called psak halacha, or like really contemplation of law, even a person who drank is permitted to teach this. Whose opinion is this? Neima, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hudahi. Below Rabbanon, to which the Gemara says no. Afilu tema Rabbanon, v'shayni hacha. This case is different. Why? the zion kari be rafu, because the Rebbe said this is something that you could learn explicitly in yeshiva. So we'll say, so bottom line, what the Gemara is saying over here is like this, that the halach of shtuyei yayin doesn't apply to something that is explicit and everyone knows. Everyone knows that a sheretz is tameh. Therefore, even if someone drank wine, halacha lemaisa, they'll still permit it to go ahead and teach that halacha. That's not called a horah. Amar Rav, so we'll say Rav says, halacha, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. We'll say, good news. Right, Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that you could teach Gemara even after you drank wine. I was happy to read this. Baruch Hashem, right? You can teach Gemara even after you drank wine. I vaha Rav lo mokim amora miyamatav lechavir. Rav, also remember again going back to what we saw yesterday, but yet we just saw that what? That Rav, after he had the Yom Tov Seuda, would give his amora the rest of the day off. Rest of the day off. Because after drinking wine, he would not teach. And I will say, Rav was giving a shir in Gemara. So why? What was the problem? To which the Gemara says, Rav lo mokei amor miyamatav lechar mishum shichrus. Shani Rav, da'ori mori. V'nekum de'lo. So the Gemara says, Shani Rav, da'ori mori. So Rav is different. Why? Because Rav paskind halachas. Right? When Rav would give shir, he would paskind halachas. So even though it was a Gemara shir, he would say over halacha, and therefore again, he did not want to give the shir after he drank wine. So the Gemara says, v'nekum d'lo lori. So ultimately, Rav, why don't you just be careful not to paskin halacha, or just give the shir, don't paskin halacha. Rav lo sagile b'lo hora. I'll say Rav couldn't help himself. Right? When Rav would go ahead and give a shir, just by definition, he would espouse what the halacha is. So we'll say, so bottom line, the Gemara seems to say, we pass like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, which essentially means that you could teach any body of Torah you want as long as it is not related to halacha lemaisa or valuations. That's what we're concerned about. In other words, that halacha lemaisa, once you're a bit impaired, we don't want you paskening halacha, and we don't want you engaging in valuations. Other things you can do. What about the study of Gemara? That itself is a machlokes. But since the Pastor Rabbi Yossi Rehu did that, the study of Gemara ultimately is fine, or say the teaching of Gemara is fine, even under the influence. So, there happens to be a very interesting couple of halachas. So, the Rambam in Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, this is Perak Aleph, writes as follows. Kol Kohen, so we'll say going back, because remember again, we spoke about Shtuyei Yayin, so let's analyze this a little bit. Kol Kohen Akasha La'avoda. So we'll say any Kohen who drinks wine, right, ultimately again is not permitted to come into the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah. So we'll say if a Kohen does the Avodah under the influence. Now there's a two-pronged Isra over here. Number one is the Isra of coming into the Beis HaMikdash while under the influence, and number two is doing the Avodah. If he comes in and does the Avodah, number one, the Avodah is pasul. Number two, he is chayiv misa bidei shamayim. What kind of wine? A revius of wine, undiluted, in one lapse, in one, right, bevas achas, at once, and the wine must be at least 40 days old. So in order to be chayiv misa bidei shamayim, revius, bevas achas, at once, from wine that is at least 40 days old. If you don't comply with any one of these details, then what's the halacha? Your pater and the avodah is good. So again, I will say, a kohen goes ahead and drinks the wine, the revius, in two sips instead of one, goes ahead and dilutes it a little bit. The wine is not 40 days old. Any one of the details missing, the avodah is okay, and he's not chayiv misa. However, again, the Rambam then goes on, if he drank more than a revius, even if the other details were not adhered to, he will still be chayiv. And I will say, now this is actually interesting. What about, next case in the Gemara was, what happens if the Kohen is intoxicated not from wine, or drank not wine, but other intoxicating beverages? So what's the halacha? The halacha is he is prohibited to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, but if he did so, ultimately, again, he gets malchus, it's aser, but if he did the Avodah is kasher. See, interestingly enough, the prohibition of shtuyei yayin is dafka a din in wine. dafka din in wine. So even though he can't enter in and do the avoda intoxicated from other beverages, if he did so, he's not chayiv misa and the avoda is kosher. Next. So we'll say, now, I just want to end off with this halacha. The Rambam writes, ukishem sh'asra l'koyin l'ikarnas l'mikdash b'pnei ha-shichrus kach asra l'chol adam ben koyin ben yisrael l'horos kishu shasui. But we'll say the same way that the Kohen cannot enter into the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah in a state of inebriation, no Jew is permitted to go ahead and paskin halacha if he is inebriated. Now, but we'll say here the halacha is different from a Kohen. Because whereas by a Kohen, as we saw, the prohibition of Shtuyei Yayin only applies to wine, this halacha applies to any beverage, right? You fill in the blank, right? Any beverage which intoxicates ultimately, again, falls under this prohibition. Afilu achol tmarim o shasa chalav v'neshtab shadaito ma'at al yor. I will say, even remembering we saw the dvela ke'ilis, the things from ke'ilis which had an intoxicating effect, maybe warm milk, I guess, which could have an intoxicating effect, right? Again, so the Rambam says, however, again, this, of course, doesn't apply to halachos mifurashos, right? If halacha is explicit, then halacha lamaise again, he could paskin, quote unquote, paskin that even under the influence. Well, so with this, I'll end. The Rambam says in halacha dalid, umutar l'shikar l'lamed Torah, afilu hilcho halachos mifurashos v'hushlo yora. We'll say a shikar could teach Torah. Right, shikar could teach Torah. By the way, this is not like a metaphor for becoming shikar with Torah. Right, this is like a shikar. Right, this is shikar through and through. Right? I'll say so. A shikar could teach Torah, as long as what? As long as halacha lemaisa, he's not paskening halacha. V'im hayachacham kavua lahora lo yilamed shalimuda horahi. But this is actually very interesting. There's an exception to this rule. The exception to this rule is like if you're like a rav, right? Meaning rav in the Gemara, who apparently again will say great talmidei chachamim. So it's assumed that the statements they make are halachically declarative statements. So we'll say so someone like rav, and this is why rav dismissed. This is why rav gave his amora the rest of the day off after the umtiv suda, because rav understood that when he said things in a shir, people took it as halacha l'maisa. So if a person is a talmid chacham of that caliber, where people take his stam statements as declarative halacha, he may not teach even halacha, even gemara, or even mishnah in a state of inebriation. Good. Let's say fascinating sugya. Let's go back there. Says the mishnah. Says the mishnah. Yesh ochel achila achas. We're now going to come to a series of Mishnayos where again we're going to see one act of consumption creates multiple liabilities. So a person could engage in one act of eating and yet be chayiv four chataos and one asham. What's the case? Tamei she'achal chaylev. So we'll say if a person who's tamei eats chaylev v'hayonosa min ha-mukdashin and the chaylev itself was kodesh and became Nosar, and he did this when? On Yom Kippur, right? Busy day, right? All of this is happening on Yom Kippur. So if you look at the Rashi in the Mishnah, it's where the Banadat Dalet Chatos, Chad Mishum Do'achal Kodesh B'Tumah. So we'll say one Chatos is because you ate sacrificial, or I should say sanctified items in a state of Tumah. Chad Mishum Chelev, one because of Chelev. Chad Mishum Nosar, V'chad Mishum Yom Kippurim. What's the Asham for? The Asham ultimately, again, I will say, is for Me'ila, misappropriation, ultimately, again, of sanctified items. Rabbi Meir Omer, Im Haya Shabbos Votziu Chayin. Rabbi Meir says, by the way, let's go ahead and add on another. If it happened to be Shabbos, and he went ahead and he carried it. By the way, now the case of carrying this could easily be where he's eating it, it's in his mouth, and he walks out. That's also called carrying. So ultimately, again, that's another Isser. So Amrullah, they say back to Rabbi Meir, no, what we're looking for, Abu Sayyid, is what? We're looking for the act of consumption itself generates multiple liabilities. It's true. If it's Shabbos and he carries it out, ultimately, again, he's chai for Shabbos also. But that's not related to the act of eating. That's a separate, independent Isser. Top of Yud Dalet. Neimo Isser, Rabbi Meir, Isser, Chalal Isser. So we'll say, do you see from here that Rabbi Meir holds that one Isser is chal on another Isser, to which the Gemara says, no. Nehi de Isra Chal al Isra Lesle. The truth is, even if you hold that Rabbi Meir holds, that ain't Isra Chal al Isra, right? So we've spoken about this concept extensively, that once something is prohibited, so no other prohibitions could devolve upon that prohibited item. Nevertheless, Isra Kolal vi Isra Mosif Isra. So you've seen this before, that Halacha Lemaisa, even if you hold ain't Isra Chal al Isra, right? Once something is prohibited, another layer of prohibition cannot devolve upon that already prohibited item if the second iser is more expansive or more inclusive than the first. Then ultimately, again, that second iser can devolve upon the first. To so what says the Gemara is going to explain this. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Tap Rashi. Ni the iser greater chalal iser less like kiyona ochal nevelas pima tmeya. Ainu chayim v'shum nevela. Dahainu iser greater. So what says? So an example of ain iser chalal iser would be like this. If you have a behemah tmeya, you have a chazer, and the chazer dies. The chazer dies, and now you eat the chazer. So what say? You might say, well, I should be chayiv twice. Once for behemah tmeya, and what? Once for nevela. So both say, if you hold Isra Chalal Isra, then yes, that would be true. If you hold Ein Isra Chalal Isra, that would not be true. But even if you hold Ein Isra Chalal Isra, that's only with what? Like Isurin. But if the second Isra is more expansive or more inclusive than the first, then everyone would agree that that second Isra devolves on the first. We'll explain this. Keep going. So the Gemara says, So for example, tar mei kara. So let's say if an animal was tar from the beginning, lo aser ella bechelev. So we'll say, remember, you have a totally regular kasher tar animal. So we'll say the only part of that animal that is aser is the chelev. So habile tamei. So we'll say now, ultimately, again, if the individual becomes tamei, migo de aser bechatichos toros. Since Rabbi Say a tame is prohibited from taking part of the other sacrificial parts of the animal, so the Gemara says, Itosif be nami isura iluye chelev. He develops another isra vis-a-vis the chelev also. So we'll say, see what's happening over here? If I become tame, although the chelev was already usher to me, but now as a result of my tuma, I become usher as onto all the other pieces of the animal as well. So we'll say that's an isra mosif. Therefore, once that happens, the Isra Tuma devolves upon the Chelev as well. The Chelev Me'ikara, lo Asr Ela Ba'achila. Furthermore, again, Chelev itself, Rabbi says, is only Asr Ba'achila. Akdeshe, once you consecrate it, Migo Di Itosif Be'isur Da'ano, it now becomes Asr Ba'ano. The Gemara says, Itosif Be'ilagabe Chelev. So we'll say, now, once you're Makdish an animal, since now the animal itself becomes Asr Ba'ano, that Isser Hana now devolves upon the Chelev as well. Vakati lehedyot hu da Asser. Now the truth is, up until now, it's only Asser to a person. Aval legavo ashari. Now we'll say, ultimately, again, it's permitted on the Mizbeach. Havile nosar. Then we'll say, if it subsequently becomes nosar, what happens? Migo di tosif yisur legabi gavoa. Since we'll say the prohibition of nosar applies even to the Mizbeach, itosif bei legabi hedyot. It devolves upon the individual as well. Chal ala Yom Kippurim. We'll say once Yom Kippur comes along, Migo di tosif be isra lagabe chulin, since Yom Kippur prohibits even non-consecrated items, even chulin, therefore what? Itosif be lagabe gavoa. There's an additional isra that devolves upon consecrated items as well. So therefore again, the Gemara explains that this whole construct of the Mishnah, even if you hold Ein Isra Chal Al Isra, right, which apparently Rabbi Meir and others do, the case in the Mishnah would still work. Why? Because the secondary, or I should say, each level of additional Isra is what we call an Isra Mosif, where the second Isra is coming to include more than the first one did. In that case, even if you hold Ein Isra Chal Al Isra, ultimately, again, you will say an Isra Mosif will be Chal on the Isra. I vinistni hei chatos, but I don't understand, why don't you set it up? I could give you, the Mishnah only made you chayiv for 4 chatos. Why don't we say that you're chayiv for 5 chatos? And I'll tell you how. Vinukma kigon de'achol kizayis pigol. We'll say, why don't you set it up like this? Say that I'm eating 2, right? I'm eating 2 kizayisim. Why don't you say them syllable differently? Say that in addition to what I'm doing, I'm going ahead and eating a kizayis of pigol. And therefore, we'll say again, there should be another chatos for pigol consumption, to which the Gemara says, no. Bechad de behema kamairi, b'shtei behemos lo kamayri. To which the Gemara says, in order to set it up as a case of pigol, that kizayis must have been coming from where? From another animal. We only want to set this up as a case of dealing with one animal, not two animals. So Gemara says, I don't understand why you say that. V'nosar upigol, v'nosar upigol b'chad, well, I should say, it's a statement. V'nosar upigol, b'chad de behemo lo mishkach basla. Both said, it's actually very interesting, because ultimately, again, you can't have a case of nosar and pigol in the same animal. The Bosan is actually quite interesting. Why not? Listen to this. Remember, how does an animal become pigol? Pigol means the Kohen had a disqualifying thought in one of the blood avodos, right? One of the initial avodos of the carbon. What happens when he has that inappropriate thought? What happens? It disqualifies the carbon. We'll say nosar means what? The carbon was prohibited. Well, excuse me, was permitted. It was a good carbon. And you left it past its permitted window. Something that is pigol can never become nosar. Because once it's pigol, it's done. It's done. And pigol occurs already again at the earliest stages of avoda. So the Gemara is suggesting, why don't you say over here that you should be chayiv ultimately again for pigol also? Well, again, there's no such case of pigol and nosar in the same kizayis. So it must be that what? You're suggesting over here that he ate a second kizayis of pigol. No, we don't want to set up the case like that. We only want to set up the case of one act of consumption. If you look at Rashi just a moment, b'shtei behemos lo mayri, v'nosar pigol b'chad lehem aleka, the pigol eino ela b'dalet avodo sheldam. Remember again, pigol occurs, we'll say when, in one of the initial four blood avodos. Hilchach mid the pigla lo chazya lachilas adam, v'lo lachilas mizbeach. Hilchach it's such an obvious point, but you don't think about this, that ultimately, again, pigol prevents the carbon from ever really actualizing. Nosar is the result of a carbon that has actualized and stayed past its permitted window of consumption. To which the Gemara says, alamalo, I don't understand. I could set up a case of pigol and nosar on the same animal, and I'll tell you how. Mashkachas law is actually very interesting. Kigon shehela ever pigol legabi mizbeach. Both listen to this. What happens? If you took a limb that was pigol, and what happens? You put it on the mizbeach anyway. Anyway, fascinating halacha. Depaka pigule mine. But say, apparently the halacha is that ultimately, again, if you take a limb that is pigol and you put it on the mizbeach, its pigol status disappears. Look at Rashi just a moment. Depaka mimeno pigulo tekadshe mizbeach ba'avoda. Ultimately, again, the Mizbeach itself consecrates the limb through Avoda. So both say, so listen to this. V'havilei nosar. And therefore, again, you could go ahead and it could become nosar. So both say, if that's true, that when you put a limb on the Mizbeach, the pigol status goes away, then it can become nosar. So you could have a situation of both say, of what? Of pigol and nosar. To which the Gemara says, no. Mishum depaka pigula mine, v'havilei nosar. Ultimately, again, both say, here's the difference. The difference is, once you do that, what occurs? The pigol status is gone, and then ultimately, if left past its permitted window of consumption, becomes nosar. But at no point in time, what? Is it both pigol and nosar? Ukita amr ula, as ula said, komet pigol shehela legabim izbeach. Well, if ultimately, again, you took a komet of pigol, right? In other words, you took a komet of mincha that had become pigol. And what happens? And you put it on the mizbeach. Paka pigula mimeno v'havilei nosar. So the act of taking something that is pigol and putting it on the mizbeach causes the pigol status to go away. And then if left past its permitted window of consumption, it becomes nosar. But at no point in time is it pigol and nosar at the same time. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you the case. Be'ever echad kamari b'shnei. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry. I lost the place. Therefore, again, the only way you'd be able to set this up would be as if you had two limbs, right? One limb of pigol, one limb of nosar, and that's not how we're setting up the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah ultimately is set up as Harabosai, as a case of one limb and not two limbs. But one second. Is that true? That you can't find the case of one limb that is both pigol and nosar? Listen to this. Allah, why not? Listen to the following case. Very interesting. Mashkachasla, kigon shehela ever pigo legabi mizbeach, de palgi anchel gabi mizbeach, u palgi me'avroi de mizbeach. Bob said, listen to this great case. I could tell you a situation. I take a limb that is pigo and I put it on the mizbeach. Part of the limb is on the mizbeach. Part of the limb is dangling off the mizbeach. So what's the status of that limb? What I would say is as follows. The palgi anchel was a palgi me'avroi mizbeach. So I would say the part of the limb that is resting on the mizbeach should, right, this pigul status is removed, it evaporates, and therefore again, that part of the limb that sits on the mizbeach, that could become nosar. Vavadei nosar, and ultimately again, I will say the part that dangles over, right, is what? Is what? Is pigul. So you can have pigul and nosar in one limb. To which the Gemara says, no, you can. I'll tell you why. If you took a komets of the mincha that was pigul and you put it on the mizbeach, paka pigula mimenu, the pigul status ultimately again evaporates. Vahavile nosar, and ultimately what? It becomes nosar. Amarle lo iruba de mizbeach shaji de mizbeach, ruba de brai shaji le brai. To which the Gemara says, I'll say, that case of where part of the limb is on, part of the limb is off, it's very simple. We judge the limb by what? By where the majority of the limb is to be found. If the majority of the limb is on the mizbeach, even if part of it is dangling off, that is considered to be a limb on the mizbeach, and therefore, again, the pigul status in its totality is gone. If the majority of the limb is dangling off, then ultimately, again, that is a pigul limb. Tiv shot de bay Rai Bar Chama. Suppose I could now at least we could answer a question of Rai Bar Chama. Halchu be'evarim achar harov olov. So what Rai Bar Chama had asked that in general, when it comes to limbs on the mizbeach, do we judge the limbs by the majority placement or not? And from our Gemara right over here, it seems to be clear that the answer to that is yes. If the majority of the limb is on the mizbeach, then it's considered on. If the majority is off, then it's considered off. The nafkamina rabose will be in this case of pigul. If you have a limb that's pigul, if the majority is on the mizbeach, then ultimately again the pigul status evaporates. If the majority is off, then the pigul status remains. Ella bekezais echad kamayri b'shnei kezaisim lo kamayri. So we'll say therefore again halacha lemaisa. The Gemara says as much as you try to come up with a case of where ultimately the person would be chayiv a fifth chatas for the consumption ultimately of pigul, you can't find it. Right? You can't find it. Right? You can't find pigul and nosar in the same kizayis. Velo, is that true? V'hokatani yom kippurim. But one second, let's analyze this for just a second. The Mishnah said that one of the chatas offerings that I'm going to bring is for what? Is ultimately again for Yom Kippur. The amount you eat in order to be chayiv karis is kikoseves gaso, the size of a large date. And how large is a large date? The vikoseves ispe shnei zesim. I will say koseves is approximately the size of two kizesim. Now remember again, if you eat any amount on Yom Kippur, it is asur and you're chayiv, but you're only chayiv misa, right, or karis, if you eat koseves. Now, koseves is two kizesim. So let's analyze this for just a moment. The Gemara says, I will say, now understand what happened over here, is the Gemara wanted to say, right, we had a case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, there's a situation where you eat one thing, and you can be chayiv for it, four chatos and one asham. The Gemara wanted to suggest, why not say five chatos and add in a prohibition of pigul, to which the Gemara essentially showed that what? You can't be chayef for pigul in the same kizayis as nosar. So the only way to make you chayef for pigul is how? Is if you ate the second kizayis. To which the Gemara says, okay, it's true, but that's not how we want to set up the case of the Mishnah. Okay, the way we want to set up the Mishnah is consumption of one kizayis. To which the Gemara says, well, one second. One of the chatos for which you are chayiv for in the Mishnah is because it was Yom Kippur. Now remember, again, Rabbi said, when do you bring a chatos? If you did something inadvertently that had you done it intentionally, what? What if a chayiv misa? The only time on Yom Kippur that there's a chayiv misa for consumption is when? Is it's koseves. If it's koseves, then how much is that? Shtei zesim. Oh, so one second. That means we are dealing with a case of Shnei Kezesim. So what's happening over here? Am Rabbi Zera, Kigon Sha'achal Kulya Bechelba. Rabbi Zera, what's the case? We'll say, the case we're dealing with is, for example, if a person ate the kulya, right? The kulya is the kidneys together with its chelev, together with its fats. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kigon sha'achal kulya bechelba, v'nafshecha lomar lichayiv akulya mishum pigol, v'achal mishum nosra lo matzil neymar, hachi ditami sha'achal katani v'chelev atzma b'ilok me'afar. So then what's the case? The case is where a person ate the kidney together with its fat. So that's considered to be one unit, but that inachinami together, it has two kizesim. Rav Papa Amar kigon, the mal yibatamri. Rav Papa says, no. What's the case? The case is where halacha lemaisa, you ate a kizayis of the sacrificial meat, and you filled up the rest of the kizayis to get to koseves with actual pieces of date. In other words, Sabosai, so therefore again, halacha lemaisa, it wasn't additional sacrificial meat that you added for the koseves, but rather again, he gives the example of dates. It was some other non-sacrificial matter. Therefore, again, it works for Yom Kippur, but won't work for Pigol. Rav Papa, I was thinking about Rav Adda Bar Acha Masni Heichatos. I will say Rav Adda Bar Acha, in his version of the Mishnah, he had that a person could eat one act of consumption and be chayef for five chatos, not four like the Mishnah. So we'll say, where does the fifth one come from? Umetaris lekegon da'achol kezayis pigol. So I'll say ultimately, again, it's interesting. Apparently, in Rav Adda Bar Acha's version of the Mishnah, he added that a person could eat one kizayis and what? Bichayiv ultimately, again, for five chatos. Where does he get the fifth chatos from? It's a case where he also consumed pigol. What's the reason he also consumed pigol? He also consumed a second kizayis of pigol. So we'll say, so there is a version of the Mishnah which reads this as five chatos, and a person is consuming two kizesim, one that triggers the first four prohibitions, and the second one, which is pigol, to which the Gemara says v'nisni sheish chatos. So if that's the case, why don't you make it six? Right? Let's make it six chatos. And what's the case? Ukik v'nukma kigom da'achol kizayis dam. So I say, so why don't you say like this? In other words, if you're already adding on, so why don't you say a person could eat three kizesim, right, and be chayiv for six chatos? Why? One kizayis is nosar. Second kizayis is pigul. Third kizayis is dam. Right? And by the way, I will say, keep going on and on and on and on. Add a kizayis every single isser. Twitch the Gemara says, no. Twitch the Gemara says, b'chad achilo kamari, b'shti achilos lo kamari. I will say, the Mishnah wants to speak about a situation of where you could ingest the food items at once. One act of achila. With multiple acts of achila, we're not talking about. V'shiru chachamim, the Chachamim said that apparently, again, the most a person could swallow at once is the amount of two kizesim. So therefore, again, you could swallow two kizesim at once. Because of that, the Mishnah would still call that yesh ochel achila achas. So you could call the consumption of two kizesim one achila. More than that, it's already going to be multiple acts of achila. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, we understand either that the Mishnah is telling us that you could eat one thing and be chayiv four chatos, and again, you can't come up with a case of where no sir and pigul would be violated at the same time. Or apparently, alternate reading of the Mishnah has you could be a violation of five chatos, in which case, again, I'm not eating one kizayis, I'm eating two kizayisim. The second kizayis is of pigul. Why does the Mishnah call that yesh ochel achila achos? Why does the Mishnah call that one act of consumption? And the answer is, because you can eat two kizayisim at once. Beautiful. Next. Rabbi Meir says that Rabbi Meir attempted to add on another prohibition, ultimately again by making it into Shabbos. If it was Shabbos and you carried the food out, you would be chayiv as well. To which the Gemara says, "V'nisni im hotzi chayiv." We'll say ultimately, why don't you just say if he took it out, he'd be chayiv. My time akatonim ha'isa Shabbos. Why do you have to say if it was Shabbos? Amar Afram Zosomeres Irovotzal the Shabbos, Vein Orovotzal Yom Kippurim. Oh, to which the Gemara Sabbos said, because the Gemara Rabbi Meir obviously wants to distinguish between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, that it is Dafka on Shabbos where there is a din of Erev Chatzeros, Erev Tchumin, a prohibition of Hotzah, but that does not apply to Yom Kippur. As much as Yom Kippur is called what? Shabbos Shabbason, nevertheless, the din of Hotzah doesn't apply on Shabbos. Yom Kippur. Maybe that's not true. Maybe the din of hotzah, right, of carrying, does apply in Yom Kippur as well. This is what it means to say. If it was also Shabbos and he carried out the food item, chayiv af mishum Shabbos v'yom kippurim. He is chayiv both for Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Ela I itmar deraf from al hada itmar. V'sanya. Let's listen to this. V'shalach biad ish iti. So we'll say by Yom Kippur. So we'll say rather again, if you want to say Raphram's statement of Erev Otzah l'Shabbos then Erev Otzah l'Yom Kippurim is not going on our Mishnah, rather it's going on a separate halacha. The Braisa says as follows. The Pasuk was by the Seal HaZazel. Right? The Seal HaZazel was the goat that was thrown over the cliff. So what's the Pasuk? V'shalach biad ishiti. You have to send it in the hands. Ishiti means an appointed individual. So he takes that to the Nidbar. Ish l'hachshir hazar. So we'll say Ish teaches me that what? Even a non-Kohen can take the Seal HaZazel. Iti in its appointed time, afilu b'tumah, Bosai is done even if the klal is in a state of tumah, v'afilu b'shabbos, and ultimately again, even if this is done on Shabbos, so Bosai again, so meaning even if it's Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, and therefore again there is an iser of hotzah, you could still go ahead and take the sir la'azazel. Iti b'mezumen katoni, I'm sorry, iti afilu b'shabbos. Good. Amar Raphram, Zosimras, what do you see from here? Erevot Zal, the Shabbos is going to Erevot Zal, the Mekipur. Well, so Raphram says, the fact that you need a drasha to teach you that what? That you take out this Seir La'azazel, even on Shabbos of Yom Kippur, indicates to us that on Yom Kippur itself, Hotzah would not be a problem. Therefore, what do you see? The prohibition of Hotzah carrying an Erev Chatzeros only applies to Shabbos, doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. Which I will say, it's another way of saying that what? As much as Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbat, so it's really treated like what? Like a Yom Tif. To which the Gemara says, Mimai. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you here. Mimai. Shiny Sir Mishalech Dechshir B'Yom Kippurim B'Kach. El Duraf Ram Barusi. We'll say, so it could very well be that maybe not. Maybe Sir Mishalech, maybe there is Erev Hotzah on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur also. And what about Seir La'azazel, that you could carry it out even without an Erev, even on Shabbos, or even on Yom Kippur, which the Gemara says, you're right, that's the mandated Avodah. But let's say, in fact, it's not such a Chiddush, the same way that Shechita, right, is one of the 39 Malachos, yet in the Beis HaMikdash, we Shecht Karbanos. So you see again that sacrificial service has the kind of exists in a construct outside of normative Halacha. So even if you hold that Yesh Erev Otzah for Shabbos, for Yom Kippur, you would still bring the Seir La'azazel because that's the Avodah of the day. And therefore, again, Ela D'Raphram Barosi, rather you have to say that Raphram's statement of Ein Erev Otzah L'Yom Kippur, and we'll say is what? Is in fact mistaken. We'll say, how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim. Hilchos Eruvei Tchumin, Simen Tav Tes Zayin, Sif Dalet writes as follows. Yom Kippurim Harehu Kishabbos. Yom Kippur is treated just like Shabbos. Bein le'inyan eruvei chatzeros. Bein le'inyan eruvei tchumin. So we'll say, so again, this is the Shabbos Shabbason identity of Yom Kippur that has the same halachas. Same halachas, we'll say, which is the same way, by the way, that halacha l'maisa, let's say someone has to eat on Yom Kippur, right? So what's the halacha? Can you cook on Yom Kippur? No. Yom Tov Ochel Nefesh is permitted, and for this individual, again, who is a chola, he's allowed to eat. Again, Yom Kippur is treated like Shabbos in almost every respect. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, both in terms of hotzah, as well as eruvei tchumen and chatzeros, Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. Beautiful. Incredible Gemara. Okay, good. Let's go weiter. So if you noticed, last night I sent you out three messages on your WhatsApp. Right? Three different charts. Ultimately, again, we are going to go through these Mishnayos quickly, and you are going to reference back to the charts for a fuller understanding of it, only because it's a little bit beyond the construct of our time to be able to get there. I'll get through whatever I can. I'll record the rest. But I will say, again, just to kind of give you a little bit of background, what we're going to do in the next couple of Mishnayos is ultimately show how one act, how ultimately, again, one act of illicit relations could generate multiple lives. liabilities. This is a carryover of the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah said that you could eat one item and what be chayiv for multiple chatos and an asham. So now we're going to see you can engage in one illicit act and be chayiv multiple times. Then of course you're going to see these cases which are a bit wild. You're going to ask yourself, why does the Gemara spend time on this? Remember, the point is we're going to see that the Gemara is trying to highlight over here is the concept of Isser Mosif and Isser Kolel. The idea that even if you hold Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, ultimately, again, even if you say that one Isser cannot pile on another, that's only when they are like Isurim. When the second Isser has either some added dimension of severity or is more inclusive than the first, then the second one can, in fact, develop upon the first. Let's go. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Bia Achos, V'chayev Aleh Vav Chatos. Both say there could be one bia that ultimately, again, results in five different chatas offerings. I'm sorry, six different chatas offerings. So both say, so what's the case? And again, you'll see this is the first, just so you understand, this is the first chart I sent you out over here. What is it? So both say, ketzad, here we go. Haba abito, chayiv ala mishum bito, va'achoso, ve'eshes achiv, ve'eshes achiyoviv, ve'eshes ish nida. Wow. So both say, so... Bottom line, not worth it, right? Just that's the take home message, right? To also say, no matter how much Yetzer Hara a person has, right? So now this is actually a little bit of a this is a crazy case. Look at Rashi, Bito Vacho. So the case of Rabosai is Sheba Al Imo Vaholida. This is a case that begins with incest. A case that begins with incest and kind of spirals out of control from there. So you could see, I gave you not just the chart, but I also gave you. I gave you the background. So again, looking on the first diagram I sent you, you can see it's note 44. We could just look at it in here. The sinner, whom we shall call Reuven, previously had an incestual relationship with his mother, Leah, from which a daughter, Dina, was born. Dina married Reuven's paternal half-brother. Since Dina and Shimon are not siblings, having neither the same father nor mother, their marriage is valid. After Shimon died, Dina married Reuven's father's brother, Esav, appropriately named. Reuven then committed incest with Dina when she was a Nida. Family gatherings are awkward. Let's just put it at that. So both sides, so this is the case over here. And again, you can see the chart. The chart actually makes it easier. I guess it makes it easier. All right. So the point over here is that halacha lemaisa, one woman, right, and all of these prohibitions. I'm a days. Vaha, let's say Rabbi Meir Isser Chalal Isser. But one second, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of Isser Chalal Isser. Nihi de Isser Chalal Isser less, like Isser Mosif, Isser Kolal Isser. I'll say, here's the point. Even though, again, ain't Isser Chalal Isser, that's true again, I'll say, with like laterally surim. But when it's Isser Mosif, Isser Kolal, it will add on. What's the Isser Mosif, Isser Kolal over here? Here we go. Gigon Shebal Imo, Vaholid Bas. So we'll say, so this case begins with a man who engages in incest with his mother, and ultimately, again, that union creates a daughter. The Isser Bito Va'achoso Bahadi Hadadi Asin. Now we'll say, now that girl that the man fathers with his mother is both his daughter and his sister. Then we'll say, now those prohibitions devolve simultaneously, right? Those happen at the same time. That's not a din of Isser Chalal Isser, right? They both occur the moment that girl is born. She is both, we'll call him Reuven. She's both Reuven's daughter. Right? She's both. Still 3 minutes. Right? So ultimately, again, there's both, ultimately what? There's both the prohibition of daughter and sister at the same time. Next, Niseis La'achiv, if that girl then goes ahead, Yudalim Abayis, five lines down. Niseis La'achiv, if she then, that girl, that union, then marries, right, his brother. Now remember, his being her father slash brother's brother. Good. Look on the chart. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Migo di Tosif Israel Gabi Achen. Now we'll say, now remember, once she marries her father slash brother, then halacha lemaisa, she now becomes prohibited to her husband's other brothers. There's a new Isser here. Once there's a new Isser there, itosif lagabe didei. Ultimately, again, that Isser devolves upon her father, brother as well. Niseis la'achiyav, if that husband dies, and then she marries one of her father's brothers, right, la'achiyaviv, migo di itosif. I'm sorry, La'achi Aviv, to the brother of her father, Migo di Tosif Yisrael Lagabi Sharachin Aviv, Itosif Lagabi Didei. Since ultimately, again, in that case, since there's a new prohibition generated vis-a-vis the father's brothers, ultimately, again, there's a new Isser generated vis-a-vis him as well. Havi the Eishas Ish, she now becomes an Eishas Ish. Migo di Tosif Yisrael Lagabi Alma. I'll say, once she becomes a married woman, there's an additional Isser that is generated for the rest of the world. See, Tosif Nami Lagabi Didei. Therefore, that additional prohibition will now devolve additionally upon her original, upon her father slash brother. Havile Nida, once she becomes a Nida. Migo di Tosif Isra Lagabi Baila, Itosif Nami Lagabi Didei. I'll say, once she becomes a Nida, so since that prohibition devolves upon her husband, it will devolve upon the original man as well. So we'll say, so therefore, again, this entire construct, really just to highlight this concept, I want to be clear. If you hold Isser Chalal Isser, this whole discussion is not really such a chiddush, because you're even holding one Isser. But if you hold, like Rabbi Meir, that Ein Isser Chalal Isser, the point we're trying to highlight over here is, even though is Ein Isser Chalal Isser, Isser Mosef and Isser Kol HaChalal Isser. We'll say next case. Real quickly. Haba Abbas Bito. Now, we'll say this is, again, in the WhatsApp, this was the second diagram that I sent you. So again, you'll reference the diagram. Abbas Bito. So we'll say this is the case over here of where a man has relations with the daughter of his daughter. So Rashi says, Bas Bito Vekalasa Shanises Shinasabino. So we'll say in this case over here, sorry, not yet. So we'll say, so he has relations with his granddaughter. Chayavala Mishum Bas Bito. And then again, assuming this girl also married his son, Vikaloso, and also potentially as a result of his daughter-in-law, Ve'esha es Achiv, and the wife of his brother, Ve'esha es Achi Aviv, and the wife of the brothers of his father, Ve'achos Ishto, and his wife's sister, Ve'esha Nida, Ve'esha es Ish, and a married woman, Ve'nida, and if she's a Nida, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Avar Zakin Vinasef, the great grandfather, went ahead and married this girl, Chayav Ala Mishum Eishas Av. Then ultimately, again, if then the great grandfather's son had relations with her, then ultimately, again, the son of the great grandfather would also be chayav for violating his or for having relations with his father's wife. V'china abba abbas ishto va'abbas bita. And so to one who also has relations with the daughter of his wife, and ultimately, again, the daughter of his daughter. So we'll say, see the chart. The chart will spell out this entire case. Katani, we'll say just quickly. Katani chayiv ala mishum eshesav. So ultimately, again, the Mishnah said that he would be chayiv for her because of eshesav. But one second. Mishariyale. We'll say, to say that he would be chayiv for her because of eshesav, under what circumstances would this girl ever be permitted to this man? Rabbi Yochanan can go shenafal liyibum. So ultimately, what's the case? The case where halach lamaisa, there was a yibum situation. Ihachi my avar. If that's the case again, then halach lamaisa, what's the prohibition? Rabbi Yaakov shavar mishum kalas bino shnia. But say the case over here that we're setting it up is as where, although she fell to him for yibum, ultimately again she is considered to be the daughter-in-law of his son, which is considered to be a shnia. But say the daughter-in-law of your son is not one of the direct arayas, but rather it's what we call a sheni la arayas. Kedisanya, kalaso erva, your own daughter-in-law is an erva. Kalas bino shnia, the daughter-in-law of your son is what's called a shnia. V'china tamotzi bebas bino, ubebas ben bino, ad sof kaladoros. And Rabbi, you see that this shnia la erva extends all the way down the generations, including ultimately, again, the daughter of your son, the granddaughter of your son, ad sof kaladoros. Umi isle Rabbi Yossi iser chalal iser. Rabbi says, Rabbi Yossi actually hold of the concept of iser chalal iser. V'hatnan, but we learned, avar avera shish b'shtei misos. Rabbi says, if a person violated an avera that has two death penalties associated with it, Nidon b'chamura, he is judged according to the more severe of the two. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nidon b'zeika rishona. Rabbi Yossi is not a question of severity. We look at which Isser was there first. For example, b'zeika rishona shabala v'tanya, keitzan Rabbi Yossi, Nidon b'zeika rishona. What's the example of Rabbi Yossi saying that you're judged according to the first prohibition that was there? For example, chamoso v'nasa eshesish. Let's say a woman is your mother-in-law, and then she marries someone. So she was first your mother-in-law, became prohibited as your mother-in-law. And then what happens? That becomes an Eishes Ish. And a man has relations with his mother-in-law. So we'll say, so what is he chayiv for? Is he chayiv for mother-in-law? Or is he chayiv for a married woman? Nidon mishum chamoso. Rabbi Yossi says he's chayiv ultimately again for mother-in-law. Because why? because that was there first. What happens if a woman was a married woman and then only afterwards she becomes his mother-in-law and he has relations with her? Ultimately, again, he is held accountable. Why? For relations with a married woman. Am Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi says, so you see that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Isser Chalal Isser. So Am Rabbi Yossi, Mod Rabbi Avo, be Isser Mosif. Rabbi says, this is the whole punchline of these sugyas. Even Rabbi Meir who holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser, sorry, even Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser, will agree with what? Isser Mosif. Will agree when the secondary Isser adds on a dimension of prohibition or includes more people in a prohibition than the first. Even Rabbi Yossi will agree that the second Isser devolves. So the Gemara says, V'chein kias Rabbi Aaron, Rabbi Yochanan, both Rabbi Yossi be Isser Mosif. Rabbi Yossi agrees in the case of Isser Mosif. My Isser Mosif, Ika Hacha. Both say, what's the case of Isser Mosif that applies over here? Very simply, Bira, the Gemara says, Amigo di, I'm sorry, My Isser Mosif, Ika Hacha, Dika Bira, L'Saba. Both say, the case is where the great-grandfather in this case has a son. Migo di Tosif Isur L'Gabe Brei, Itosif Isur L'Gabe Didei. Since both say, vis-a-vis the great-grandfather, once the great-grandfather has a son, and in some of these relationships, there's an additional dimension of Isser added towards the son, that additional layer of Isser devolves upon the great-grandfather as well. All right, both say, I apologize for the speed of that last case, that last Mishnah, but you'll see, I dafka put it out on the WhatsApp, you'll see on the table a little explanation, it all comes together. Shkoyach.